Let us turn again to the passage of God's word we read together. In the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 3, let us consider verse 4. Jeremiah 3 verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Wilt thou not from this time forth cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Well, we can see quite clearly from the passage that we read that Israel and Judah had departed from God. They were not taking God seriously. They were saying to a stock and to a stone, thou art my father, thou hast brought me forth. They had turned their back on God and not their faith. But in the time of their trouble, they would say, arise and save us. And in that situation, the question was asked, where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? You see, they're in trouble. They need help that they cannot provide for themselves. And so the question is put, or the statement is made about them. In the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. You see, people may outwardly, at any rate, have God as their God. And they turn their back on him. They follow false gods. That happened again and again in the history of Israel and Judah. And it happens today when people may make a God of just about anything. Someone or something to whom they give their hearts. It may be a close friend, a wife, a child. It may be some possession or something else they set their heart on to get a high position in the world, to be successful, to get on. But what about God? What about the God that they once treated as their father? And that's the idea that's set before us in our text. There's two particular ways of describing Israel's sin here. One is the idea of adultery. They were in covenant with God, and they had departed. They had given God up. They had set their hearts on something else. Some false God in particular. And in the sense that I tried to explain things a moment or two ago, people today are setting their heart on many a things. They're making it a God. They have their gods, something of their friends or their relations. God is forgotten. It's not that we are to have friends. It's not that, but that we are to love our relations. It's not, but that we may value our possessions, though we are not to treat them as gods. We are not to give anything too high a place. We are not to forget God. But what God is saying here is, wilt thou not from this time forwards, wilt thou not cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth. Things were different in the past. Things were different with Israel when they came out of Egypt. They were so glad to be free. It's not but that they had their times of unbelief But there was certainly a stage at which they were conscious of the great things that God had done for them. Now, after a long time, and at various times throughout the ages, their attitude should be looking back and saying to the one they had respected, saying to the one whom they recognized as having done great things for them, "Thou art the guide of my youth." And the implication is that they would be saying now, "Be thou my guide," at this stage in our history. Or the individual saying, "Be thou my guide," at this stage in my life. Yes. We will try and apply that to ourselves, seeking God's help. Because if we do not look to God for help, can we expect his blessing? And we need his blessing. We need him to apply the truth to us. We need him to put this prayer in our hearts. "My Father, thou art the guide of my youth." Let us notice 4 points. First, the one who was the guide of Israel's youth. Second, something about recognizing God as our Father or our guide. That's what the God through Jeremiah was encouraging the Israelites to do. Third point is, if God was their Father, how would they, if they were true, if they had been made sincere, how would they act as children? And in the third place, we will try and emphasize, probably rather briefly, the plea that there is here, the way that God addresses them, the way that God speaks to them, the way that God would encourage them. He was saying to them, "Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth?" First, God as the guide of Israel's youth. Second, we are to be recognizing God as our Father and our guide. Correspondingly, we are to act as his children. How would we act if we are his children? And then, in the fourth place, the call that God is addressing to Israel. Even after so much departed, even after so much carelessness, even after so much idolatry, they were to say, "My Father, thou art the guide of my youth." Well, to speak of God as the guide of Israel's youth, and we might just remind ourselves how he speaks at the beginning of chapter 2, he says, "I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." Israel had been brought out of Egypt. He had been their guide. He had guided them out. He had guided them past the forces of Pharaoh. He had guided them through the Red Sea. He had guided them by giving them commandments, as we will notice. You see, they could say, "Thou art the guide of my youth." And many one can look back to their childhood and when they were growing up, and They were taking God as their guide, at least in an outward way. They were living outwardly as people should live. They had taken the commandments that God, as Israel's guide, had given to them. He had said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they were, maybe spasmodically, maybe erratically, following their guide. Outwardly, they were guided through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But there was a more significant guidance, and that was the directions that were given to them as to how they should live. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And that's what's being condemned in Jeremiah's time. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not commit spiritual adultery, we might say. For that is very much the message that comes through again and again in these chapters. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Now, you see, that was God acting as their guide. And God acts as our guide in that kind of way, and showing us the way that we should walk in through life, and showing us the way that we should behave. And not just outwardly. The last commandment, which is where Paul found conviction of sin, it was that he was coveting something. He was finding it difficult to fight against that commandment. We don't know the exact circumstances. We don't know what he was particularly coveting. But there was God as the guide of his youth, speaking to him in his more mature years. And there is that guidance that God gives as he teaches children through their parents. He shows them how they should live. He is their guide. And we should value that. Young people should value the guidance that they have had. And yes, their parents carried out the duty that was laid upon them. But, you see, ultimately, young people are to think, and older people are to think, of God as their real guide. You see, what a blessing in an age of such moral confusion. Such moral confusion. What a blessing to have a guide. A guide through the morass of life. When apart from that guidance, we would not know where to turn. We would not know which way to go. We would not know how to live. And those who are setting out through life in a more independent stage of life should be thinking of the blessings that were attached to their upbringing. And they should be remembering these words, Thou art the guide of my youth. I have that blessing. Am I making use of it? Am I seeking to walk in the light of that guidance I was given? And it should bring us to ask my father, though at the gate of my youth. You see, if we're looking for guidance to life, how will I go? How will I live? Then we may come back to this in Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto, to his way, according to God's word. Wherewith shall a young person setting out in life cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the guidance that the scripture brings from God himself. Wherewith shall an old man, still wandering on away from God, but he becomes something somewhat serious, or an old woman, and they become somewhat serious, wherewith shall an old man or woman cleanse their way? And the answer is just the same, by taking heed thereto, according to God's word. Go to the Bible. Are you confused about life? Are you confused in the face of all the mixed upness of today's morality? How can you navigate past all the reefs and dangers in the sea of time? How can you get past that? How can you steer a safe course? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto, according to God's word, according to the Bible. By taking heed, by asking the Lord to bless it, to bless the word, to apply it to you, so that you would know which way to go. You see, the Lord has great power. Remember that. The Lord has great power. And when we are confused, and when we do not know which way to go, and when we should be looking for help, where will we go? It must be to the Word, asking the Lord to be our guide. Yes. And where I'm coming from, to remind you, is that Israel had God as their guide when they came out of Egypt, and centuries later, generations later, they were to look back and say, this is how it was with our ancestors. This is how it should be with us. We should be taking God as our guide. Whoever may forsake these things, whoever may be forgetting God. Now the second thing is this, that they were to be recognizing God as their father and their guide. It's not that God was their spiritual father, as far as they were concerned, who were forgetting God and going their own way. But it's this, that they were to recognize him as the father of the nation. They were to recognize him as the father of mankind. It's God that had created them. It's God that had brought the nation into existence. It's God that had given them so many blessings, and especially the guidance that I was trying to speak about. And you see, God was able to guide them still, and God was able to act as a father to them. Think of the care of a father. Think of the concern of a father to guide his children in a right way. Think of the concern of a father to provide for his children, and a mother too. But it's particularly as a father that God is brought before us here. Yes. But in spite of God being their Father in these senses, and in spite of God being their guide, as I've spoken of earlier, still, they were saying to what they were thinking of as gods, false gods, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they shall say, arise and save us. You see, people are turning their back to God. Does that apply to anyone here? Well, I'm sure it does. Are you really going to the Lord God of heaven and earth, who gave his Son to be the Savior of the world? Are you going to him to say, arise and save us? Or do you reserve that for some time of desperate trouble, some time of terrible difficulty, that it's only then you would go to the Lord in any kind of prayer and ask him to help you? And time is passing, year goes on, and there's bound to come trouble of some serious kind in anyone's life. And if it in any way could be said, there's no trouble in that person's life, and that might be just ignorance on the part of the observer. But, you see, when that person is passing into eternity, is there not going to be the crying to God, arise and save us? Unless that person has been totally hardened. But, you see, it would be flying in the face of the guidance of youth. You see how much we need that the Lord would be our guide now and continually. Are we taking that in? Are we considering it? How easy it is to forget. How easy it is to neglect God, to put him away from us. We can do without. Surely people attending church will not think like that. I'm afraid there's a lot of it. Certainly today, so many people have forsaken the guide of their youth as far as coming to church is concerned. They had God as their guide in the past. They came to church, they came to Sabbath school. And then they got a bit older. They left school, whatever it might be, and they didn't need God anymore. They had grown up. Ah well, it was a poor growing up, if that's what it was. Oh, let us take this to heart. Let you and I all take this to heart and take it increasingly to heart. I need God. I need him always. We're making our way through life. Life has difficulties. We're making our way through life towards eternity. We're to pass into eternity. And let us say, in the face of eternity in particular, I need God. I need him to save my soul. I need him to cleanse my way. I need him to turn me from my own ways to serve him. I need him to bring me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that I might be saved. Yes. Oh, may the Lord bring us all to feel our need of salvation and to say, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. Now, let me emphasize, and I hope to say a little about it later, but just at this moment, let me emphasize, there's God as the Father of his children by adoption. God is the Father of his children. When the Lord saves a soul, he becomes the adopted father, and that person becomes his adopted child. That's not what I'm speaking about just now. That's not what this verse is teaching. That's not the point just now, though I want to bring it in later. We need God as our Father, but we, Israel had God as their Father. He had created. And I'm thinking of those who have been brought up in the Church of God. They have God as their Father, in that he was the head of the church. They very likely were baptized into the church with the privileges that that brings, being in the Church of God, having the opportunity to hear what God the Lord will speak. Yes. And you see, then the Lord does bring people to say, not only in an outward way, that will not save us, but the Lord brings people to take God as their God from the heart. He brings them to pray sincerely. My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. Be thou my guide now. Lead me along. Bring me into the path that leads to everlasting life. Keep me in that path. Bring me to the end in due course, so that I may pass into heaven. Yes, how is that possible? You see, we're trying to speak about sinners who have been careless about their souls, who have been neglecting God and his ways, who have been neglecting the blessings of their youth. How is it possible that they would be brought back? How is it possible that God would shower the blessings of salvation upon them? Yes, the answer is God's saving work. The redemptive power of Christ. Notice what Paul says to the Galatians. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, those who in some sense had God as their Father, he brings them to himself on the basis of what Christ did by way of his redeeming work. As the Redeemer. He has that name, the Savior, the Redeemer. That's how a sinner can be brought to approach God. That's the way it is possible for a sinner to look to Christ and salvation through him. It's because of Christ's saving work. It's possible for sinners to be converted. That's a great matter. Whoever you are, whatever you have been, salvation is possible. And that's putting things at the lowest. But it's a great matter. And it has been a great matter for sinners, for many sinners, that it was possible that they could be saved. That was a great advance in their spiritual experience. It was possible. They felt no certainty about it, that they would be saved, that it was possible that they could be saved. Now God may take things further, and we trust that God will take things further. Yes. And you have the question at verse 19, how shall I put thee among the children? How shall I put thee among those who are true children, believing children, trusting children? How? Well, thou shalt call me my Father, and shalt not depart, or shalt not turn away from me. God will do it. That's a great thing. God is able to do it. God does it. God works. God works savingly. And you who have any concern about your soul, even momentarily, oh, make sure you seek him and go on seeking him. Make sure you recognize this, that salvation is possible, but at the same time, that salvation is to be sought. Salvation is to be sought. There is that real possibility of finding salvation. And you see, these things can be put more strongly. I was trying to speak from the experience of some sinners anyway. But you see, the Lord assures sinners, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, the Lord acting in such a way that sinners recognize as the one sure guide through life, that sinners recognize him, and this is going further, as their Father. The Lord saving sinners and bringing them to see that he is their Father. He brings them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sinners responding to the call of the gospel. And that's what verse 4 is, in effect. A call for the sake of Christ and the saving work that he has done. He is saying, verse 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And what's the saving response? What's the response when the sinner is brought to trust in Christ? The response is, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Behold, we come. Why do they come? How is it possible for them to come? It's God's saving what? We have to look past ourselves. We have to look past other people, however they may help us. We have to look to Christ as the one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. God is able to save. That's what we have. God is able to save. And we're to look to him. See, we have every encouragement to look away from ourselves to the one who came into the world to save sinners. See the confession that is made at verse 25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. Why is there confusion? They went after false gods. They committed spiritual adultery. They despised God as their guide and their Father in the senses that I've tried to explain. And now, being convinced of their sin, God coming to them and showing them that they've done wrong, that they have departed, that they are open to his anger, to his punishment, they say, we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. We are unsaved. We are in a bad way. We are under God's anger. Can we find mercy? What's the answer? Yes. Mercy is over all the pages of Scripture. The pages of Scripture smell of mercy, God's mercy to lost sinners. Yes, may we take that seriously. The pages of Scripture are soaked with mercy. And if we get even just a little of the work of God in our souls, then we should be able to smell that mercy. And it's a hopeful sign when a sinner begins to get that smell of mercy from the pages of Scripture, that God is saying, I am merciful. Come unto me, for I am merciful. That God does not lightly send sinners away to a lost eternity, but that the sinner is being encouraged to come. The sinner is being encouraged to come. Yes. You see, there's mercy. The words of our text are dripping with mercy. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, whatever has been the past, whatever has been true of the past, whatever rejection of God that has been, whatever carelessness, whatever indifference, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. I learned something in my youth. I learned guidance. I didn't follow that guide. But, and you see, one element in that guidance was this, that the Lord was saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There was the guidance of God to lost sinners. There is the guidance even now. The guidance of God to lost sinners, whether they will take it or not, whether they will close their ears to it or not. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, thou art the guide of my youth. You see, what a mercy it would be if the Lord would deal with the careless and bring them to realize that shame covers them, that they have sinned, that they have committed spiritual adultery, that they have departed from one who was coming so near to them, guiding them to such an extent. But even although that guidance was rejected, even although there was a determination to walk on in their own ways, yet, you see, the prodigal son. He went far away. He was in a far country. And there's somewhere in the context here a reference to God sending Israel and Judah away into a far country. Perhaps there's a connection between that and the parable of the prodigal son. We shouldn't be surprised to find connections between one place in Scripture and another. But the prodigal son went into a far country. He did it voluntarily, of course. The people of Israel and Judah, they were forced away from their own country. It was an act of war that took them away from their own country. But you see, in the far country, and there was something of that in the Jews' experience, that they were brought to seek the Lord in the far country. The prodigal said to himself, I will arise and go to my father. I will arise and go to the guide of my youth. He felt his need. He had nothing. He had nothing left. And oh, what a good thing it is when a sinner comes to see, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing for my soul. I'm lost. I've got nothing. I will arise and go to my father. I will go back to the guide of my youth. And I will say to him, I have sinned. I have sinned. I've lost everything. I've lost it all. There's no hope for me. Ah, well. He was still left with a small drop of hope. A small grain of hope, but however you care to describe it. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned. You see? I've rejected the guidance of my youth. I've tried to live apart from God. I've tried to live without that guidance, and it has failed me. All my attempts to find happiness, they failed me. I've no prospect of happiness. I've no prospect of ever finding happiness. But in some degree, I can hope to be provided for if I will come back, if I will say, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. And the prodigal son went back to his father, and he said, I have sinned, or at least this is what he was going to say, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But his father saw him, and had compassion upon him, and ran, and he kissed him. What a warm embracing there was. What a warm welcome. Yes. The father embraced the prodigal son, and the prodigal son embraced the father, and he said, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth, and I take thee as the guide of my old age. I take thee as the guide of my maturity. Whatever it is, I take thee by thy grace. Ah, that's how it is, sinner. Grace, 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 mercy, for the sake of Christ. Oh, will you come to Christ? Will you not say, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth, and thou must be my guide now. And I would take thee for the sake of Christ, the one mediator between God and man. And I realize this. Perhaps that's as far as you can go at this point in time. There's a real possibility of being saved. But don't stop at that. Seek that that would become a reality. Seek that you would know that you have found Christ, the one who came into the world to save sinners, that there is a full and a free salvation. Christ is saying to you, Come unto me, and I will give you rest. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. May we confess our sin. May we all be brought to feel our need, and that there is no hope for us apart from Christ. Make us earnest about our souls, and do not leave us to go down to a lost eternity, that though we would have for many years been rejecting the guide of our youth, yet, Lord, may we be brought to thee now. May we be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Give us thy blessing. May we feel the power of thy truth. Grant to draw sinners to thee. Grant to be working in them by thy Holy Spirit, and build up thy children. Grant us thy blessing. Wash away our sin. Be thou our God and guide forever, and do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.